So our scripture today, it does sound much better when you turn the power on. There's a sermon in that. Our scripture today, what I love about today's scripture is that if you have a favorite television show, like I say Survivor, because that's really the one show that Diane and I sit down and watch together. Wouldn't you say it's the only show? Sometimes I'll sit down and I'll watch when she's watching the Food Network. I'll sit down and watch a show with her. Every once in a while when I'm watching something on the History Channel, she'll sit down and watch a show with me. She can take Pawn Stars. She can't take Swamp People. But every once in a while, we'll watch a show together. But we always watch Survivor together. And at the beginning of Survivor, they always say, "Previously on Survivor." And then they show you what happened last time. And sometimes that's good because sometimes I can't remember who got voted off last week. Like, I can remember who got voted off this past week right now. It was a huge blindside. But sometimes I need that reminder, and I love it when there's a Bible story, and when I say story, I don't mean like made-up story, but a story that's relayed to us that actually happened. I love it when there's a Bible story where it tells you the story, and if you just happen to be reading through the Bible, it's like you're hearing it for the second time. We're going to read Acts chapter 11, starting with verse 1. And if you were reading through the Bible, you would be hearing this for the second time. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, because the first time has more details, but it's very long, and I could read it to you, but I think that you pay better attention if I'm not reading to you, but if I'm telling you the story. And you can follow along in the Bible, and you can go home and check me out on this and make sure I'm not making any of this up. But there's two things going on in Acts chapter 10. Going on simultaneously. God, we serve a God who is so amazing that there can be... Do you ever see that movie, Bruce Almighty? And he starts getting all... He gets to play God for a little while. God gives him the power to play God for a little while. And he gets all these requests in, and he just gets overwhelmed. There's like millions of people who are writing, "Lord, help me win the lottery." And so he just says yes to all. And so people are at home with their lottery tickets, and they see their lottery ticket, and they won, and they think they're going to be millionaires. And the problem is there were millions of people who won the lottery. God does not get confused in that way. God is a multitasker. You can be at home praying this morning before church. I can be here at the church praying over these pews, or praying for God, give me the words to say today, even though I've prepared all week, give me the right words to say. And he's hearing you, he's hearing me, he's hearing Graceland Baptist, he's hearing people in Houston, Texas today, he's hearing people in Bangladesh today, he's hearing people in South Africa, in Ghana, in China, people hidden in a church in China. Sometimes they'll meet at night. It might be night there right now. They might be in China meeting in a secret church right now. And God is hearing me pray for a blessing over the offering, hearing me pray an opening prayer saying, "Open our hearts and minds." And he's hearing everything else too. And he's not going, "Oh, Lord." I thought that was really funny. He's not going, "Oh, me." "Oh, if that Butch Streetbeck does not quit bothering me." He acts like he's the only one I've got to pay attention to. Give somebody else a chance. He's not up there going, "Give somebody else a chance, Butch. Give it a break." No, he's saying, "Speak to me. And I can handle your doubts, and I can handle your questions, and I can handle your..." And And I don't mind if you ask me the same thing today that you asked me yesterday. And so in Acts chapter 10, there's two things going on at the same time. First of all, there's Cornelius, who is a Gentile. Now, when you think Gentile, think like us. There's two groups of people, technically, two groups of people back in Jesus' day. There's the Jews and there's the Gentiles. Now, they might look at other Gentiles worse than they look at other Gentiles. Like the people of Samaria, they despised. Other Gentiles, they didn't hate so much. And so Cornelius and his family, they are Gentiles, which means that they're not Jews. They're not Jewish people. And so, but Cornelius loved God. I love this about this because if you think about it, Cornelius didn't know about Jesus yet, but he loved God. There are people around the world today who love God and don't know about Jesus. They believe that there is a God. And they believe, and they'll walk around and they'll tap on a tree. Are you there? They don't even know what to call him. They might not call him God. Boobaway. That's just the name I made up. Boobaway, are you there? Or on a rock. Boobaway, are you there? Do you understand this? There are people who know that there is a creator, and they don't know what to call him, and they don't know who he is, but they know about him. And if they do their best to find out God's grace somehow, I believe they're going to be saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If they do that, and so Cornelius is, and that's a theological thing. I shouldn't have said that, but that's just what I believe. I believe if Cornelius follows God, he lives a good life, he helps people, he helps the widows and the orphans, he loves God, and he worships him in the best way he knows how. He's not a Jew, and he's not a Christian, and he's trying his best to follow God with what information he has. And God honors that. And so when someone's in a foreign country and they're going, boo-boy, and they're knocking on rocks and trees, God sends them missionaries to tell them about Jesus. And says, God says, I honor what you were doing in seeking me, and I'm going to answer your prayer. Isn't that awesome? I didn't say that at 8:30 either. This is just for you. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, always said, you prepare like everything you're going to say is in your sermon, but if God doesn't give you something extra during your sermon, you failed. That was something extra. And so Cornelius is a Gentile, and he's looking for God, worshiping and serving him in the best way he knows how. And that's going on over here, and God sends word to Cornelius, hey, Cornelius, there's this guy named Simon Peter, and he happens to be at a guy named Simon's house, just so it's easy for you to remember. And this Simon's a tanner, and you are to send for this Peter and ask him to come to your house and talk to you. And so, running parallel to this is Peter. See, God's preparing two hearts at the same time. He's preparing Cornelius, and he's preparing Peter. And so God says to Peter, let's go to the scripture. No, first I have to tell you this. Peter, he goes up on the roof to pray. Probably because that's the coolest place in the morning that he could find. If you have ever been to a foreign country and lived in a house, or been in a house, Butch, you've been in the heat in a house. Of course, we had a little bit of air conditioning, but without air conditioning, you go up on the roof, And that's when we went down with Happy Kids, and we didn't have air, and we would go up on the roof at night, and we would go up on the roof in the morning. And so Peter goes up on the roof to pray. What's he doing? Praying. What's he doing? He's praying. That's when God comes to see him, when he's praying. He's not at a baseball game. I'm not saying God can't come see you at a baseball game. He can. But more than likely, it's going to be when you are focusing your attention on him. More than likely. So what I love about mission trips is you just spend a week focusing on him. In the work of your hands, you're focusing on him. In devotions, every day, you're focusing on him. And so Peter goes up on the roof to pray. He's focusing on God. And God sends this vision to him. It's like a sheet with four corners. And it comes down. And there's these animals in it that Peter knows he's not supposed to eat. And God says to Peter, stand up, kill and eat. And Peter says, no way. You must be Satan. This is my translation. You must be Satan trying to trip me up. Because nothing unclean has ever gone into this mouth. Now he's saying a couple things maybe come out of this mouth unclean. He didn't say that. That's my translation. But nothing unclean has ever entered this mouth. And God says to him, what I have cleansed, don't call common. What I have cleansed, don't call unclean. And Peter's going, whatever does this mean? Do you know the disciples ask that all the time? What does that mean? There's these seeds and they get scattered about like a dandelion. And some fall on rocks and they may sprout up, but then they die. And some fall on rocky soil and they may sprout up, but then they're going to die. But then some fall on really good soil. And the disciples are going, do you know what, Peter? Do you know what he's talking about? No. He's talking out of his head. And then he says, here's what I mean by that. Peter gets this vision. He's going, I don't even know what this means, and there's nobody even to ask. And then he gets a word from the Lord because Cornelius sends these people to Peter, and the Holy Spirit comes to Peter and says, go with these guys. And he goes and he tells Cornelius about Jesus. And so let's pick up the scripture here. Now, this is going to be a review. Chapter 10 was the story I just told you. Now we're going to review this because the apostles and the people who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. They heard, they saw it on Facebook. That's a joke because they didn't have Facebook back then. You young people, you don't know that they didn't used to have Facebook, but they didn't used to have Facebook. They heard about Peter going and talking to Gentiles about Jesus. Now, the Jewish people were under the impression, I know I'm spending so much time on this, and I want to get to you here in a second, but the Jewish people were under the impression that you had to become a Jew before you could become a Christian. They thought that the path to Jesus went through Judaism. And that so you had to do the things that the Jews did to become a Christian. And so, they call Peter. It says in the scripture, when Peter came up to Jerusalem, this is not a very good translation. Peter was summoned to Jerusalem. Have you ever been called into the office? Colin? What? Have any of you ever been called into the office? I've been called in to talk to the district superintendent before. Sometimes when I call people from the church to talk, I'll bring them in here to the sanctuary because I don't want them to feel like they're being called into my office. Peter is summoned to Jerusalem. And they want an explanation of why Peter is telling other people about Jesus. Why he's... And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, when he was summoned to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went into uncircumcised men and ate with them. He ate with them. He shared the gospel with them. It's just how Jesus worked all the time. It's why I do Wednesday night dinners. Jesus, lots of times, ate with people when he shared his message with them. You ate with them! Exclamation point! But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. You go with them, doubting nothing. I love that. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, Peter is still explaining himself to these people, the church people. The religious people, Peter's still explaining himself. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. This is a post-ascension event. In other words, on the 15th is Pentecost Sunday. That's the day we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming. On the week before that, the 8th, that's Ascension Sunday. That's the day that we remember Jesus going back to heaven after his work here was done. This with Peter happens after that, but Peter's reflecting back on Pentecost Sunday. It's like when do you guys remember when we received the Holy Spirit? And we were all talking in tongues, and we couldn't understand what we were saying, but the people who we were talking to understood? That's what it was like. And they went, whoa. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that could withstand God? When they heard these things, they went, whoa. They became silent. And they glorified God, saying, Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Thank God for that, you Gentiles. I'm a Gentile too. So, I know I have just about spoken long enough, but that's never stopped me from carrying on. And the people said, Amen. Because this is all fine and dandy. I've taught you something, I hope, today. I hope you've learned something today. And if you haven't, then you are a very good Bible scholar. But what about us? I mean, that's always, I think, part of every sermon. What about the people sitting in the pews? What about Jake? I don't want you to feel like I like Colin more than you, so that's why I called on you, too. What about Jackson? He went downstairs, didn't he? This past week, and if you're looking at your clock, it's only 8 till. I really have plenty of time. This past week, I was able to secure this mission trip to Houston, Texas. Samaritan's Purse gave me a heads up that this addiction recovery center was going to be accepting mission trip people to work on mission there. And so they said, we will let you know when this is ready to go. And I said, okay, thank you. And they sent me an email early this week. And the email said, this is going live today, so you can go to our website and sign up for this trip to Houston to work on the Addiction Recovery Center. So I said, so I go on their website. It's not there yet. I keep checking. It's not there yet. This is like trying to get Springsteen tickets or Rolling Stones tickets or The Who. Like, it's so hard to get. And so I'm just checking on my phone constantly, every 5 minutes. Finally, it comes. The link's live. It's online. I'm able to sign up. And so the first thing I do is I sign up 10 people, because that's all you're allowed to sign up is 10. I signed up 10 people for the last week of July before fall practices start. So high school kids can go if they want to. College kids should still be out for the summer. Sign up 10 people. We're going to fly to Houston. And so Samaritan's Purse calls me later that day. And they said, I see you signed up for 10 people for the last week of July. And I said, that's right. And they said, okay, we're good to go. You signed up 6 women and 4 men. I said, that's right. They want you to know who's going before you even sign up. Well, I don't know who's going. But I know we can get 10 people to fly to Houston. And I know that it's probably going to be more women than men, because in all the mission trips I've done, it's usually more women than men. And so they said, okay, we're good to go on that. Here's some details. You're going to be staying at the place. You're going to eat at the place. You're not going to have to drive anywhere like you normally do on one of our mission trips. It's going to be right on site there. And they said, now you also signed up for another week. I said, I did. I said, I have some vacation time that if I don't use by the end of June, that I don't get to carry it over into the next year. And I was going to use that vacation time to try to go to Alaska to work with Samaritan's Purse for a little bit. But Diane and I, they had 150 applications, and they only picked 40 people, and they didn't pick Diane and I. That was a little humbling. Oh, you got 40 people better than us? It's like politics. I ran for Board of Education one time, lost by 100 votes, and it's humbling. And so that's not going to happen. So Diane and I were talking about, and I'm going to mention this at the board meeting, but you all are the church. So Diane and I had talked about, we pretty much blew our vacation budget on San Francisco in January. We spent a week and went to San Francisco, and the airfare was $100 a person round trip, but the hotels weren't. And so we're going, well, the Samaritan's Purse thing was free. They were going to fly us to Alaska for free, and we were going to work up there with veterans. But did I tell you they didn't pick us? It wasn't meant to be. And so I thought, we had talked about getting a tent, because you can get sites on the beach in Florida for $30 a night. So I said, hey, you want to, you know, 30 years ago, we would go to Florida and we would tent around the state. Well, we're not 20 anymore. And Diane hasn't been in a tent since then. But I said, we could afford this. And she said, okay, let's do it. I know it seems like I'm really talking about stuff that doesn't have anything to do with the Bible, but I'm telling you, I'm coming around the corner right now. So come back to me. And so I thought, well, I hadn't done anything about this possible trip tenting to Florida. I've explored it a little bit, but I haven't done anything. And so I thought, I didn't even talk to Diane about it. I said, I think we're going to go to Houston for a week and to just take a week's vacation, her and I, go to Houston, sign up, work with Samaritan's Purse, drive over to San Antonio. They have a beautiful river walk there, I've heard. And before I click the button to submit two people, I said this. God, I often call him that. I said, God, I mean, you know, the Heavenly Father, I do that too. But sometimes it's just, God, if we're not supposed to go, if Diane and I aren't supposed to go to Houston, then somehow make it so it doesn't work. If we're supposed to go to Florida, make it so we can't go to Houston. But did I click submit? I absolutely did. So when Samaritan's Purse calls, they say, your 10 spots are good. However, we've got a problem with you and your wife coming in May to Houston. And I said, okay, no problem. And she said, well, don't you want to know what the problem is? And I said, okay, what's the problem? She said, well, we're only taking men for the first 4 to 6 weeks because the place that we are putting you up, it's not ready for females yet. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's probably staying in a tent. That's good. It's like staying in a tent. The men, and not that women can't do the work of men. I know they can. But Samaritan's Purse is going, we're going to have some men down here who don't mind sleeping maybe in dirty conditions, and they're going to get this place ready for men and women. So it may not even be for every man, but we certainly can't sleep men and women together in the same room, and we're going to have one room to sleep people in at the beginning. And I said to them, this is an answer to prayer, that we can't go. And she's a little flabbergasted. She said, I thought you might be upset. And I said, no, it's an answer to prayer. When I clicked submit, I said, Lord, if we're not supposed to go, make the electric go out so it doesn't go through. Break my finger so I can't click the mouse button. I didn't say that. What'd I say? It's a green light until it's a red light. Do you remember that from last week? When this girl from Haiti, Megan Boudreau, who wrote this book, Miracle on Voodoo Mountain, she said, it's a green light until it's a red light. Do you know what Charles Spurgeon says? Charles Spurgeon says that we pray to God, God, would you have me do this? He said, if it's something that you think that God might have you do, you say, God, I'm going to do this, and if it's not your will, then stop me. Is that a different way to pray? That influenced me when I clicked send. And you know what? God has worked all this together so that I could stand up here today and tell you that it's okay to move forward on things, believing you're in God's will, and if you're not, He will stop you. That's an amen. It's okay to move forward if you think that something's in God's will, and if it's not, He'll stop you. And I can tell you that He stopped us from going to Houston. So when we go to Houston at the end of July with some of you some of you don't even know you're going to Houston yet. And God knows you're going. Isn't He a good God? Cornelius is praying and he doesn't even know what he's praying for. He's worshiping God. Peter is praying, and he doesn't even know what he's praying for, and he's worshiping God. And God comes to speak to them, and God directs them, and God guides them. And listen, Jesus is already back in heaven at this time. And so last week I said three times Jesus appeared to them. Remember that? Jesus on the shore, Peter's in the boat, they didn't catch a fish, Jesus has already been raised from the dead, and it said in the scripture this is the third time that he has appeared to them. And then he went back to heaven, and guess what he keeps doing? He keeps appearing! He keeps showing up. When a sincere heart looks for him in another country, he sends a missionary to tell him about Jesus. When a sincere heart in America looks for him, he has a friend call who say, hey, is everything okay? When a sincere heart seeks him, they will find him. And he still guides you today. The problem isn't on his part. The problem's on my part. How many times would I have, if I hadn't just read that Spurgeon scripture, how many times would I have just clicked that, thinking it's God's will? God, if it's not your will, stop this. Some of you, Everybody came here to hear something today. I don't know what God brought you here to hear, but I pray that you heard it. Let's pray. Father God, Jesus always called you Abba, Father, Daddy. Daddy. We have, many of us, so many doubts that you ever hear us. If you hear us, we wonder sometimes why you don't do something. And I pray that persistent prayers, people who persistently pray day in and day out, and maybe even for the same thing over and over, I pray that they get a message from you today that you hear their prayers. And that you take their prayers into consideration when you do what you do. And that you don't mind at all that they've asked you the same thing yesterday that they're asking you today. You're such a great God that it's almost as if when we're praying that there's nobody else in the world that you're listening to. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive us for yesterday. Forgive us for last week and last month. Forgive us the way that we've treated others. Forgive us the way that we've treated you. Forgive us how we've taken you for granted and kept you in the corner just like we were waiting to call you out to help us when we needed you. And help us to know today that you are always eager to hear your children pray. Lord, listen to your children praying. We give you thanks when you make it clear to us that you do hear us. And we ask for your faith and your strength and your perseverance in those times that we're not so sure. We give you thanks and praise for who you are and what you do and what you're going to do. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.